from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. BART Police Chief Carlos Rojas said at a press conference on Thursday that crime on BART trains and in the stations is on the rise. Rojas added that he will investigate ways to improve the system's crime reporting. The statement comes after critics, including some BART board members, said the agency's new system for reporting crime data is less transparent. Crime levels on BART have been under scrutiny after robberies where groups of youth swarmed trains and stole cell phones from passengers. And joining us to discuss BART and crime is our own Dan Brekke, editor and reporter for KQED News. Welcome, Dan.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning to you. We also want to welcome Carlos Rojas, BART Chief of Police, to the program. Welcome, Chief Rojas.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you, and good morning to you. And let me just begin with Dan so he can lay things out for us. And he does an excellent job, yeoman work in the KQED news report he did about all of the things that have been difficult for BART, crowded trains, equipment breakdowns, medical emergencies, dirty stations, not to mention fare cheating. But the spotlight now is on crime, and for a lot of good reasons.
Well, you know, this is kind of a cyclical phenomenon in that going back and doing some research on this, I found an article from 1982 talking about crime on BART and Muni and what was being done about it. But more recently, several years ago, there was a higher incidence of these sort of I'll call them mob style robberies, where it's a group of kids usually who steal some item of property from somebody on a train or in a station. BART responded to that. BART police responded to that. Crime went down for a couple of years. And now we're in a period where for the last several quarters, they do quarterly crime reports that they present to the board. We're seeing an increase again. And there are two sort of headline-grabbing things. One is that robberies are up. The Chronicle and others reported that back in early May after that April 22nd robbery involving several dozen teenagers at the Coliseum BART station. And then, beyond that, we've seen several other crimes like this. And so that has all served to cast a spotlight on this.
Well, the other thing that served to cast a spotlight on this, and we'll talk with Chief Rojas about this, was the decision to not go into a daily log or take the time that was necessity of doing a daily log and go to a map online. Yeah.
Well, you know, what Chief Rojas came in May, he'll tell you all about that. But I mean, and there was a decision made by him and perhaps some in the communications department to move from narrative crime reporting, in which there was a sort of a select group of crime log incidents that were described in some detail, to a commercial vendor called crimemapping.com, which gives a very simple, basically a one-line description of a crime and where it occurred. And there have been complaints that is not quite as transparent. From looking at it myself and from years of looking at Oakland police and how they report, I would have to agree that it's probably not as transparent and as what we had before.
There's been also the argument that it is cumbersome and people who don't necessarily know how to use the map are having
problems. You do have
problems
to learn how to use it, and Chief Rojas himself has pointed that out.
Well, let me go to Chief Rojas. Again, Carlos Rojas is BART Chief of Police. There's been a good deal of criticism about this, and I'd like your response, Chief Rojas.
Yes. Well, good morning. And, of course, we're trying to get up to speed technology-wise along with other agencies that use crime mapping and really put crime in context of the cities where our BART stations sit. And so that was one of the reasons that we went to crime mapping, as well as creating efficiencies in terms of staff time. But we did listen to the feedback that the folks had. And now I'm reinstituting the crime logs for the serious felony crimes. And we're going to keep the crimemapping.com because we have talked to the vendor. And the vendor has assured us that although the other agencies on their system do not use a more robust narrative, we will have the ability to do a narrative of up to 100 characters. So we're going to do both the crime log and the crime mapping. The crime mapping actually allows you to do alerts to your cell phone or via email as well. So it has some good components. It can be somewhat clunky and difficult to learn. But that's one of those things where it will just be an added piece of information for anybody who's interested.
But let me just go to remarks by your assistant general manager, Kerry Hamill, who said the crime mapping has increased efficiency, accuracy, and transparency of crime reporting, and who is also reluctant, shall we say, and some private letters from her were released about, well, being, shall we say, from the public's point of view, transparent. I mean, let me go to the sort of go to the real what's really controversial in all this. Many people felt she was sort of acting like judge and jury and saying that the public didn't necessarily need to know or see what was going on in detail because it just created racial bias. I mean, I think that's the pith of it, isn't it?
Well, I can't speak to her comments or on behalf of the communications department. Well, what I can tell you with the crimemapping.com, it does allow for greater access in terms of it's now available to all those that have internet access, whereas the log process does require folks to register, and of course we do, you know, encourage the folks to register if they are interested in that. And crime mapping, I just see it as another tool to give to folks that are interested in learning about safety on BART or crimes occurring on BART.
Let me go back to Dan Brekke to get some clarity on Kerry Hamill's role in all this, because my understanding was that she pointed out what she called the media's disproportionate elevation of crimes that unfairly affect and characterize writers of color. That's the quote in the Michael Bolton article that appeared in the San Francisco Chronicle. She's a communications person. She's not a board member.
Well, she's the assistant general manager for external communications, and she's got an interesting perspective. And I think if she had voiced this as a private citizen, nobody would have raised an eyebrow if this had been released by a BART board member. But you know, she's in charge of, or one of the people in charge of deciding what the public knows happens on BART. And so she's pointing to some real things that happen in the world. I mean, there is racial stereotyping, which she calls out. There is a media tendency to go for the most sensational, almost fear-inducing kind of story.
But didn't the Chronicle not mention race in their articles?
Well,
they were very
careful
not to, I thought.
Well, in the initial reporting of the April 22nd incident, the media in general stayed away from that. And I think partly it was because BART didn't offer that information. And I don't think anybody has questioned that decision on their part. I mean, actually, I shouldn't say anybody. All the media outlets that reported this crime had comments from readers demanding to know, why aren't you telling us the race of who was involved? You know, we need to know this. And it's clearly, I guess I would say there is some racial profiling and dog whistling going on there. And as I said, Kerry Hamill was pointing to something that really happens. I think where she may have crossed the line in some people's eyes is that, I mean, she was basically making the call on what people get to know. And when it comes to personal security, and people, you know, there are hundreds of thousands of people on the system every day. People want to know what's going on around them. Now, I think that if you do look at the level of crime outside of BART in some of the communities, I mean, there's no comparison. I mean, BART sort of breaks down their statistics into crimes against persons. Those are violent crimes. If you look at that same class of crimes in the areas outside the stations, especially in East Oakland, where the Coliseum BART station is, the crime rate is literally hundreds of times higher.
I want to go back to Chief Rojas. Before I do, though, let me give out the phone number. Dan Brekke is with us, and Chief of Police of BART is also with us by phone, Carlos Rojas. And you can be with us. In fact, let me give you the phone number if you'd like to weigh in here. If you have some thoughts you'd like to bring to the conversation, or if you have questions, you can join us now at our toll-free number. Number to call is 866-733-6786. And we're going to open the phone lines and certainly try to take as many of your calls as we can. Again, the number to call, 866-733-6786, or email us, forum at kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is at KQED Forum, but we do want to hear from you. BART Director John Keller and Board President Rebecca Saltzman, by the way, said that Kerry Hamill's remarks were in some cases valid, but they were critical of her tone. And I want to go back, if I may, to you, Carlos Rojas. And Carlos Rojas, again, is BART Chief of Police. Let's talk about, you talked about what's being done, and there's a lot that's being done, or at least there's a lot that looks like it's on the tickets here. More police presence and visibility, more cameras. There were cameras in the train, though, as I understand it, that weren't working, or they were flashing lights, but they were not operating. Is that true? Let me hear from Carlos Rojas, yeah.
Yes, that is my understanding. And they did install the final camera a week ago or so, a week and a half ago. And now it's my understanding that all the cameras are operational and working. And it sounds like it did take some time to get those cameras in place. And it's a very robust video camera system. And, you know, of course, you know, we're in favor of the cameras because they do help us in identifying any suspects on the trains or in the stations that have committed crimes against folks using our system.
I noticed that when Dan Brecky's article appeared, somebody commented there should be surveillance at the building gates because of people cheating on the fares and getting through and so forth. Might be a worthy suggestion to consider. But I'm wondering, Chief Rojas, what you say to the simple question that many people have in their minds, how safe is it going to be to ride on BART? And how safe is it now to ride on BART? There are many people, riders just, I suppose, who need to know somehow that you're addressing the crime on the system.
Well, as it was mentioned earlier, BART is a very safe system. We are part of the fabric of the communities where we sit, and I think it's very important for us to continue to have the good relationships throughout the Bay Area and with our allied agencies to improve safety, not only on BART, at the stations, on the trains, but in the surrounding areas that are beyond our jurisdiction.
Think they're doing the job on that score? Let me go to you, Dan Brecky.
It's a little hard to make that call. I mean, these crimes are statistics until it happens to you or somebody you know. And so it's a deeply, deeply personal thing. A couple things stand out. You would like to know in black and white, is BART safe? Is it not safe? Is it safer than other transit agencies? How does it compare to the communities?
Excuse me, when you say black and white, do you mean you should know about race too?
You know, no, I don't mean that. I actually just meant the old-fashioned term of let's have a sharp division of fact and non-fact. But just the statistics about whether BART is safer or less safe than other transit agencies is very hard to find out. There are no sort of national requirements or local requirements even for what transit agencies report. So Muni, for instance, reports the number of certain class of crimes per 100,000 vehicle miles traveled, whereas BART and most other agencies use the standard of crimes of certain classes per 1 million riders. And so that, you know, gives you an apples and oranges problem. And statistics aren't up to date. So, but one thing you can say, and I'm deeply curious about, is that BART does have a higher crime rate than a lot of other big city systems. So a few years ago, LA Metro did a study that compared LA, Chicago, Philadelphia, Boston, Washington, and Atlanta, and BART's crime rate was higher. Now, they were pretty close, except for one category, which is larceny. Larceny is property crimes, things like cell phones and bicycles. And BART's rate was off the charts compared to 50% higher than Chicago, double Los Angeles. And it's just I'm just wondering why with fewer riders is that happening in BART? And I don't know the answer.
Well, one of the things that Chief Rojas has said specifically, he is, and I believe, Chief, I'm not putting words in your mouth here, that you really don't have the personnel, the staff that you need. And I'm looking at a comment here from Wanda who says, in regard to your claim that the detailed crime report took too much time, and that I presume was the reason, not having enough staff, She says, you have to be kidding. I assume after an incident, the officer routinely files a report using a computer. How about providing a BART system map with clickable annotations for each crime, maybe colored for AM and PM? It could display by day or week or month.
Yes, in terms of staffing, we are short-staffed for the size of the jurisdiction. You know, we cover four counties, soon to be five counties. So it's a linear type of jurisdiction as opposed to a sprawling city, and that presents challenges in and of itself. And, you know, ideally we want to be in a situation where we have significant amount of personnel that are available not only for what you call random patrol or responding to incidents, but also in a fixed post capacity at each and every station in order to really increase the level of security. And so staff time, anytime we are working an issue or a topic, it's going to take time to dissect and get all the information to provide the most accurate information possible. And so I am looking for efficiencies in which we can capture some of that staff time and push it out into the community, into our system, as opposed to being tied up inside the office.
Again, Carlos Rojas is BART Chief of Police, and we're talking about crime levels on BART, which have been under scrutiny after robberies where groups of youth swarmed trains and stole cell phones from passengers. Number of incidents. So I'm going to bring your calls in, and let me go first to Hildy in Oakland. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi. My concern and gut reaction to the comment that was made that there's more crime in certain areas that BART goes through, so we should feel what? Comforted by the fact that there's less crime if you are on a train that goes through East Oakland? Excuse me. What kind of connection with community does that make when you make a comment about riding through East or West or Oakland or any other what you consider crime-ridden area?
We'll please let that stand, Hildy, as a comment unless the chief wants to respond. Chief Rojas?
I was simply stating that we're just the fabric of the communities where we sit, and each community has different challenges, and we're no different in the BART system.
Let me thank Hildy for her call. Go right to another caller, and that's Melanie in San Bruno. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. Well, some of the other callers that have come in between when I first called have said similar things that I feel. But I really take issue with Chief Rojas commenting that they would do a better job of reporting serious felonies. And I think that what they might determine to be serious felonies and what the public would call serious felonies could be very different. I think it'd be fairly easy for them to have a computer program that let them click off, you know, purse snatching, cell phone theft, anything like that with just a push of a button that would give the public a better idea of just how dangerous or safe our public transit system is. So I think that using serious felony obscures a lot of the crime that might make people feel very threatened. Thank you.
Thank you for the comment, and we do need narratives. It's apparent from the caller's point of view and what we're hearing and what we're getting in the way of comments. But Chief Rojas, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
If I could just comment on that. All felonies are going to be in the crime mapping. That is a computer web-based system, and that will have the ability for us to put a 100-character narrative within that system. And it will also allow riders to go in there and set up alerts for whatever stations they're interested in getting information on. So we're just going to put more emphasis on the serious crimes that, in terms of our log, in order to get more robust information that may enhance the safety of our riders. But all the information, you know, bike theft will be available on crimemapping.com should somebody want to put an alert for that type of crime or to view the information regarding a certain station.
What about, may I ask, about your critical response time? Is it getting better?
Our response time is really it's a matter of where our officers are at any particular time. We are broken up into five zones, and oftentimes we do catch these folks who are committing crimes or are causing a problem on our system because our jurisdiction is restricted to the parking lots, the stations, and the rail.
And Dan Brecky, let me focus for just a moment on something else that you wrote about, and that is how you talk about the Powell Street Station and just how really filthy it is. I mean, it's like a public urinal, and you have a real problem with the homeless people there, don't you?
Well, all the downtown San Francisco stations, Civic Center, Powell, Montgomery, and Embarcadero, but especially Powell and Civic Center, have a they're refuges. They're havens for people who, especially when we have weather in the winter months, people are trying to stay out of that, and that's where they wind up. This is nothing new. There are some, you know, some of the newer things is there are people openly using injectable drugs in some of the stations. You know, my son uses Civic Center, and he says, you know, Dad, it's just kind of rough out there. And this is somebody, you know, with some empathy trying to think about what to do about it. The station I use every day when I come in on BART is 16th Street, which is almost in a class by itself in terms of like I literally never go through there without seeing fare evaders, and today was no exception. And it is really
make a citizen arrest.
No citizens arrests. Leave that to the professionals. Is my attitude.
Well, let me go to the professional and go back to Chief Rojas to get response from you, Chief, from some comments that are coming in from our listeners. Robert says, does the BART police chief support installing tall European-style turnstiles to reduce crime and fare cheating?
I'm very supportive of any design that would help in mitigating or completely eliminating fare evasion. And I know BART is working on that. You know, of course, that's not something under my purview as the chief, but that's something that I'd be very supportive of. You know, really, it's crime prevention through environmental design. And that's I'd be very supportive of any and all efforts that would help in reducing that.
I want to read a comment about police presence and also get your response, Carlos Rojas, if I may. This is a listener who writes, a major concern regarding BART crime is the absence of police on cars on a regular basis. I've ridden BART regularly now for 15 years and have encountered police presence on the cars only twice. It's clear to everyone, law-abiding and otherwise, that no one will stop a negative event, which incidentally occurs almost daily. It's the Wild West, particularly at night. Chief Rojas?
Yes, it's challenging to be in the parking lots, on the trains, responding to the various stations with limited personnel. So that's one of the things that's a big challenge for us, and we're really trying our best to overcome with the resources that we have. We want to increase our presence on the trains, and you know, we realize that as we're going in one direction on the train, we oftentimes get called back in the other direction, and it could be a delay in responding. But we are working very hard to find ways on how to turn the corner, and one of those is by starting a strong recruiting campaign for new police officers.
Dan, let me go to you, Dan Brecky, again, who is editor and reporter for KQED News, who's done a lot of research on BART, to put it mildly. And I don't know if you can answer this question from Dan. He wants to know, what percentage of BART's overall budget is devoted to safety and crime prevention?
I'll give that an I don't know. I mean, one thing I do know, I was thinking about this when the chief was just talking, is that I believe the department's authorized strength is somewhere around 225. And I think the number of officers they actually have is about 180. He could confirm that. But, you know, in terms of the—
But let me just ask the chief, do you know about the overall budget on safety and crime prevention, Chief Rojas?
It's roughly about 10% of the BART budget is my understanding. And it, unlike city policing or county policing, where usually public safety takes up the majority of the budget, I know that's not the case in transit agencies as a whole, you know, because of the nature of the operations.
Dan Brecky?
And I was, just in terms of the physical extent of the system, I think they have 45 stations now, and over 100 miles of route, well over 100 miles. And so, I mean, it is, I mean, there's no denying it is really challenging to cover that. I will say the last time I saw an officer on the train was just last week. I was very surprised. I was on the way to the Powell Street press conference with the chief, there was an obstreperous passenger at Embarcadero, and almost magically, an officer stuck his head in the door and said, "Everything okay here, folks?" And this passenger actually got off and talked to the officers. It was a welcome surprise.
Let me read another comment from Ken, who says, one should not encounter people shooting up in the station entrances or loitering across the steps to block access. One should not encounter used syringes on the steps. I'd be willing to pay $1 more per ride to improve all riders' quality of life. And here's Richard, and maybe you can respond to this if you would, Dan Brecky. He says, I grew up in New York in the late 60s through the 70s, used every method of public transportation. During this time, I never saw the degree of violence and inconsiderate behavior that I have seen on BART, especially on the Fremont-Richmond line. And again, how does it compare? And then we'll hear from Chief Rojas on this.
Well, as I said, it's hard to compare apples and oranges. And then now we've got a new fruit because we're talking about the 60s and 70s in New York, which is by consensus is one of the toughest periods for rapid transit conditions in New York City. They're excellent
now. The world
now.
Of Bernie Goetz, as listeners may recall.
Exactly.
Chief Rojas, what about that? I mean, how do you feel you compare in terms of safety and the kind of criminal activity we're talking about here to other systems throughout the country?
Well, you know, not being familiar with the other systems, I've ridden some of the other systems, but I have a very brief understanding of their operations and how I felt using their systems. So I really don't know in terms of the actual safety. Could there be a different perception of safety in each of the areas in terms of what system's safer than another, of course? And then oftentimes that is in the eye of the rider, of course. I mean, I went to a San Francisco Giants game and, you know, went home at 11:30 on the BART, and I was feeling safe, but that's not always the case for people. And I think some of the callers have made some very good points about, you know, not only the safety, but also on the trains, but the safety at the stations. And I think that's something that we need to continue to work on together.
We've got just seconds left here, Chief. I want to ask you a question another listener has put forward. And she asks, why not invert the model and have city or county police departments run the stations, give them jurisdiction over trains as well? Could you at least get help to the BART police from officers of the law, public officers?
Well, you know, we all work together. We work closely with our allied agencies, but you got to understand the cities and counties are also strapped for resources, and that's staffing is a challenge in most city and county agencies, law enforcement agencies throughout the state of California. So that would be a big challenge, but we do try to work with them as closely as possible to try not only to prevent the crime in the station, but also around the station.
Well, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks to Carlos Rojas, BART Chief of Police, for joining us. Chief Rojas, thank you. And thanks
thank
to
you.
Dan Brecky, editor and reporter for KQED. Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Another hour ahead. We're going to talk actually about an exhibit at the De Young and about African-American history. Stay tuned.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by Jan Schramm and Maria Minetti Schramm, founders of the Minetti Schramm Museum of Art at UC Davis, which preserves the legacy of renowned artists such as Wayne Thiebaud for future innovators by dedicating a third of its space to arts education.